Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I say this a lot, but sometimes someone's better is just better. And it might not be okay, but it's reality, and at some point you can accept that, or you can try and live and figure it out. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamoke. We will get to, coming up here in just a little bit, NFL top five, bottom five, because it is Tuesday around here. We have absorbed all parts of the NFL weekend that was, Jhené. And so now we are back in the right version of things in the world. You get to take over the top five in the NFL, and I get to live in the gutter.
And let me tell you, there's one story that just made me so happy with his performance. So stay tuned for the next 10 minutes because I got a great number one.
See, I was going to say, Jhené, you generally tend to do better when we're talking about, like, joyful things here. I'm just looking for lowlights all the time. Like, I want to see people falling down. I want to see, like, not all the worst things happen, because obviously there are some actual bad things in the bottom five this week that sucked this weekend. But in general, I'm a pretty good bottom five guy.
You know what's funny? My mom always says, be careful what you name a child. You know why my middle name is? Joy. Okay, let me help you. It's Joy. There you go.
You know what? We were still doing the first name thing yesterday.
Yikes.
Where I was getting over. Yeah, no, listen, it's not great. Like, I panicked right there.
Cliff, you guys all saw
the fear in my eye here, right?
Cliff, come on. If you do it for me like you did yesterday,
I thought you wanted me to say your name, Jhené Egbuamoke.
Oh my gosh, look at Cliff.
Jhené Joy Egbuamoke.
Yes.
Now, wait, hold on.
Nice to see you, Devin.
I have to ask the question because I just got put on the spot in the way like a lot of people do when they're first getting to know somebody, especially in a new relationship like our work relationship here. Did you guys know the answer to that question and not tell me?
I had no idea. I'm sorry.
I knew it. I knew it.
So again, in that situation, you saw me struggling. You saw the fear and pain in my eyes, and you just said, "Nah, you pushed my head underwater and let me drown.
And then Cliff could have even spoke to you and been like, Joy.
My bad, dog, right?
Is that called content, Mike. I'm sorry.
You guys are sick, all right? Jhené and Golic Jr. reminding you Peyton Place is back for season two. Hell yes. The Emmy-nominated series returns Sunday, November 29th, with 15 new episodes as Manning takes you on a journey through football's most iconic moments, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. So, the discomfort that I just went through here right now, obviously,
okay.
smaller scale stuff.
That's how you learn.
That, you know what?
Trial
that is.
Through fire.
That's how we grow, Jhené, and it's good because we grow and we look forward. We don't look back in this situation. That being said, do you think at this point there's part of, because last night, Monday Night Football, we saw the Rams get a big-time win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are now 1-3 on primetime this season that Tom Brady has come over to Tampa Bay from New England. We saw the Patriots lose again this weekend, and again, having a tough go of things in the post-Tom Brady era. We thought this team might be tanking for a little while this season. So, Jhené, you think there's any part of these two that regrets not making it work for even a little bit longer?
I don't think so. I think this was a mutual breakup. But I do think that when you have mutual breakups, that doesn't mean you're not going to miss your significant other for so many years, for like 20 years. And so when you're looking at Bill Belichick and the Patriots and the struggles they've had, and then also you're looking at Tom Brady and trying to assimilate himself at such a late stage in his career to his new team with a lot of new weapons for him, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, hey, big head, with a text like, how you doing? Like, they're at the point in the season where both of them sort of feel the same thing. So I'm not surprised. The only thing that actually did surprise me, though, was the inconsistencies that we've seen with Tom. Like, I sort of maybe came in thinking that maybe the reality, I mean, we talk about this LeBron, like, it's hard for us to understand if a cliff or anything type of drop off will ever happen. And I still don't think we're at that point. But to see that late interception, especially where, you know, it was full coverage and everyone was right there and it just was like an overthrown ball, to me, that's where it's like, man, things are not the same. And so I totally think that both of them are probably like, oh, this was nice. But I do think they've started their own chapters.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, you get out of the relationship and now all of a sudden after the divorce, Tom's dating a girl in her 20s and he realizes he doesn't have a lot in common with people in his 20s anymore. And midway through the season, driving around in that nice convertible, all of a sudden he looks out and kind of misses that midsize SUV he used to have carting around the family. So I'm just saying, as I get way too deep into the divorce metaphor here, that maybe there is some, you know, pang of that, because right now, Jhené, it's interesting. I don't think these are knee-jerk reactions to what's going on in Tampa Bay anymore. I think it's an understanding. This is going to be a playoff team. We know the Buccaneers are going to be a playoff team. And like we said at the beginning of the season, we always figured the Saints would probably, because of all the continuity, be the class of this division. But now, seeing the Rams go out there last night, and Sean McVay looked like he was one step ahead of Todd Bowles, calling plays offensively versus a defense that's looked like one of the best in football at times, I think seeing those other portions maybe reminded us that all of the things we took for granted all along and mentioned were going to be difficult along the way might play a bigger factor in this season than ever before.
And you know what's funny? Because when we think about relationships, a lot of times it's like, it's not you, it's me. And I think in the situation between Belichick and Brady, we're trying to figure out like who actually is the source of the confusion. Because make it make sense, as I was saying sort of earlier, especially with that late interception. Tom Brady has already thrown more interceptions a season than he did in all of 2019. He's currently on pace for 13 interceptions, a mark that he hasn't hit since 2009. And so, you know, at some point, is this more Brady, you know, at age 43 and also on a new team? Or is it more that you miss that old, you know, your old flame, like the synergy? A lot of people don't understand that when you are in, you know, with one team for such a long time, like you become an extension of your coach, an extension of your teammates, so much so that you can look and you know what people are feeling. And when you transfer that, that is a hard transition. And so I'm curious, Junior, do you think it's more of Brady and his issues or just more so the environment that he's in now?
I think it's and this is such a cop out, Janae, because if I were to look at this and just take away all context, I would say, all right, Tom Brady in the last few years in New England hadn't looked great. That offense had to change a lot and turtle around him because personnel was getting so bad. So we thought he'd come down here and spread his wings. What was the biggest problem last year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Jameis Winston? Rampant turnovers, putting the defense in bad spot. What was their undoing last night and in some of the games where they have had issues? Turnovers in critical situations. And so if you're talking about that, there's part of me that says, well, logically you could say, these are the Tampa Bay problems from last year that have gone over to this year, so how can they be on Brady? But I think what you said second is a little closer to the truth in here, is at some point, there's a trust you build up over a long period of time. And that's what's interesting. So Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, was talking about this, what the issue might be with the two. Is there any lack of trust with him and Tom Brady? Here's what he had to say.
We have Tom calling a lot of his own. We're picking his own on the sidelines, you know, from the game plan. So I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's just still it's not lack of trust. It's just lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture.
And today, I think that gives even more, I think, of a fuller picture as to why. We saw last night there were a lot of instances where Antonio Brown looked like he was the first option on a lot of plays for Tom, because he had the benefit of experience in a prior season and in training camp going back with the New England Patriots the other year in that relationship. You know, I saw Dan Orlovsky, who's going to join us in about 15 minutes here, say they see football the same way, through the same set of eyes in this spot. And so I think maybe that might be the biggest indicator of, all right, for as great as all these other weapons are, it's still a process of, in key situations, do I know where you're going to be when, and can I get it there at this point, which in some instances and some throws still looks like it might be an issue for Tom.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the expectations, just because he is an all-time great, if not the greatest of all time at his position, like those expectations sometimes are some unwarranted given the situation we're in 2020, also being on a new team. Because I always say this, you know, I got traded, forced to trade, kind of, very politely though, to the Los Angeles Sparks, playing with another all-time great, plural, in Candace Parker, and my sister NECA both have won MVPs and championships. And for me, that was the hardest adjustment, trying to find my role. Granted, I'm not the point guard here, but still, when you have a lot of talent, it's not so easy, because sometimes that talent can be individualistic, you know, in the sense that, oh, I can do this by myself. So it is a learning curve for even the greatest, including Tom Brady.
It is. And when you look outside of a Thursday night loss, weirdly, against the Chicago Bears, when that defense was playing outstanding like they have been all season and the offense got just enough, their losses have come twice against the New Orleans Saints, that might actually be the best team like we thought all along in the NFC, and this Rams team that, when the Rams send four or fewer rushers, they are first in yards per play, first in opponent QBR, and sixth in pressure rate in that. Like, they can do the most basic fundamental thing in football, send only four, play coverage, and raise absolute hell. And so maybe, just maybe, we're looking and saying, all right, these teams that have been around together and have a ton of talent might also be good too, and the benefit of continuity may be bigger than ever before. So, like I give advice to all of the people getting ready to weather the storm this week, going back home potentially for Thanksgiving, even though you probably shouldn't in all of this, and we should all be staying put and being safe. In normal years, I would say, don't text your ex the night before Thanksgiving. Just don't do it. I'll give the fuller version of that PSA tomorrow as we get around to the important things in life heading into Thanksgiving. But coming up next, we're going to keep everybody in a good mood here. We have gotten through another NFL weekend. We have digested it. Coming up next, we'll get into the top five and the bottom five from this weekend. That's next. It's Shenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this. As we've gone through like every possible iteration of weird quarantine fads, have you guys seen this? Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, that on Twitter now, we're back to everything being cake, the Thanksgiving version, people cutting into turkeys and the turkey being cake inside.
Wait, I'm confused. Is it an actual cake that looks like a turkey?
Yeah, it's Chiney, you remember that like probably like a couple of weeks straight? It might even just
yes,
been a couple of days because everything feels like weeks where you cut into stuff and it would be cake and it ended with like human arms and it was really scary.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't jive with that.
Well,
what? Say it.
No, I'm not going to say it. But what I will say is, Chiney, if you this Thanksgiving you're cutting into a turkey, you're wherever you're going to be, and you cut into that. If it was cake, would you be that disappointed?
Absolutely.
Really?
I want my dark meat.
See, I think of like again of all the Thanksgiving meats, and not to rehash the most tired topic, but turkey is probably the lesser of all the meats. It's the driest. It needs the most help on the plate.
And so I think you're picking the wrong parts. You probably went for the wrong parts of the turkey. I mean, I can teach you.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small business with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Chiney gotta teach me how to eat at Thanksgiving. Like, I didn't earn every bit of those 300 pounds along the way.
You probably have not been tipped off to dark meat, so let's go. Juicy!
Oh my God. Cliff.
You know who's trying to eat on Thursday?
Who, Cliff?
Them Cowboys, baby!
Let's go!
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Best things from the week in the NFL, and Cliff had the perfect segue. Feed me! Feed me! Feed me! How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? If you're watching on ESPN Plus, I was tapping my belly, and I'm not going to show a tattoo on my belly like Michael Jr. did a couple weeks ago when we were turning up for Two Damn Fridays. But how about them Cowboys? Because there's actually some kind of hope. One, because they play in the NFC East, where anything is possible. But more importantly, they take down
number
the Vikings.
Yo, Cliff is getting real rude in here, guiding these segments around.
This is number five, the fifth best thing that happened this week. Andy Dalton throws 3 touchdown passes, which is good because there are a lot of questions off, you know, how do the teammates like him in the locker room? Zeke, feed me, over 100 yards. And then Mike McCarthy, clearly the biggest winner after smashing some watermelons. We should call him the Hammer. Guess the team excited, and guess what? They deliver a win.
I'm not going to call Mike McCarthy the Hammer for reasons that would make everyone uncomfortable on here, but what I will say is we're doing top five, bottom five here from the NFL weekend, the top five things that Chiney saw out here. What I will say is that report from Tom Pelissero at the NFL Network that Mike McCarthy was out here bashing fruit, now he's got to keep hitting things with a hammer before every game, right?
Very true. What's the name of that game on, like, the Fruit Ninja? He's a Fruit Ninja.
Oh,
number
man.
Four. Let's go.
Number four.
All right, I love it because, spoiler alert, the Titans are kind of that team. They're that spoiler team because they have the nerve to stand up all up on the Ravens logo, and then they also deliver it after that. They talk that talk and then, well, or maybe walk that walk and then literally walk that walk because Derrick Henry had that walk-off TD, which is a huge flex. Now they have 2 wins over the Ravens, which probably says more about the Ravens these days than the Titans, but I digress. Now, Derrick Henry is the first running back with 2 walk-off TDs in a single season. LaDainian Tomlinson is the only other running back with 2 walk-off TDs in a career. So pretty much big game, big statement game for the Titans, especially led by the not so but kind of low-key spoiler Derrick Henry MVP candidacy type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, it's one of those things, we say it to emphasize how good Derrick Henry is, knowing good and damn well he ain't never gonna win an MVP in the modern NFL.
Yeah, big facts. But hey, show him love because he delivered.
Truth.
With a T, Cliff. Delivered with a T.
Number three.
Delivered with a T, now to number three. Now, I feel like it's time to party in the AFC. Your girl's a poet and you don't even know it, okay? Really, because, and if I say party, I mean social distance party. Let's go!
Turn up on Zoom!
Turn up on Zoom, especially this Thanksgiving, play it safe. Now, I'm talking about the AFC North just because Pittsburgh and Cleveland, they have a lot of reasons to celebrate because the Steelers, they have the best start in franchise history with, a 27-3 win over Jacksonville, and then they're 10-0 now, and clearly their receivers are showing out, and I love, you know, celebration of the week so far was Chase Claypool touchdown and then wishing Juju Smith a happy 24th birthday. So that was a win on one side in the AFC North. On the other side, Cleveland has to celebrate because it's the first time since 1994 that the Browns have been 7-3, and this is their first season with 7 wins through 10 games since 1994. So much to celebrate. Surprisingly, not the Ravens in this division, but it's more so those other two teams, Pittsburgh and, of course, Cleveland.
The Browns winning a very AFC North football game, another very rainy, sloppy one there. Shout out to Nick Chubb, by the way. I've always maintained that the most dangerous man on any football field is a guy going out there and playing in the trenches without wrist tape or gloves, but a close second is a running back or a safety, a la our very own Ryan Clark, who used to show up and show out with no gloves but the finger tape around the knuckles on there. That's usually a bad dude, and Nick Chubb went home and delivered that with the force that
okay,
you would
really
expect.
Randomly, like, halftime. You girl always loves halftime. Let me see your hands. You're not an athlete until you got one crooked finger.
I got, I got a bunch of fat ones. I don't know what that means.
I guess that counts. Number two! Number two. Our show's favorite number. Now, in less surprising news, this is one of the biggest plays in the NFL, obviously, this week, and probably even one of these this season. Patrick Mahomes is really, really good at football. Like, this whole football thing, he's really great. While we may not have been surprised by his, like, late-game heroics against the Raiders, this was actually the first time in his career that Mahomes threw a go-ahead touchdown in the final 2 minutes of a game. The Chiefs keep rolling. It feels like they can win, even though they have one loss on the record. Everyone still considers them, you know, going up against the Steelers undefeated. People don't really care because it's Patrick Mahomes. When you have that guy, your chances are always there. And again, I say for the final time, 7 plays, 75 yards in 75 seconds. Young GOAT.
The young GOAT indeed. Second highest QBR in the fourth quarter overtime through 10 games in a season, only trailing 2007 Tom Brady. He pretty good.
All right, we went from the bottom all the way to the top. My favorite thing coming up right now. Go Cliff.
Number one.
Okay, I am a woman, probably a woman. I am girly, and I love a Cinderella story, okay, y'all? And P.J. Walker of the Carolina Panthers right now, like, that was the story of the week. Now, football fans should actually be sort of familiar with P.J. because he starred, actually, for Matt Rhule at Temple, and he was also a star quarterback in the XFL. Let's go. Keep it in the family. Shout out to nepotism out there. Star quarterback for the XFL's Houston Roughnecks, where he, by the way, was 5-0, undefeated. And so now to come off the bench and winning your first career start by 3 touchdowns. That's a great story. He threw for 258 yards and a TD in that 20-0, and like also add a shout out of the Lions. So that was a big, big win for him. Just personally going from the XFL now to the pros and also getting the game ball after his first start and his first win.
Really impressive stuff from him. Never heard of that nepotism guy, but I heard he's pretty decent. Coming up next.
It works for my family too.
As we get through the NFL top five here on ESPN Radio, we got the bottom five coming up in about 10 minutes, but we've talked so much about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. What's the glaring omission right now that's holding them back from being the team that we expect? Our next guest knows a thing or two about that. We'll get to it. It's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm looking up at my television screen right now and seeing Tony Kornheiser, very well-respected journalist here at ESPN, been on PTI with Mike Wilbon forever, dressed as a turkey. I'm not going to lie. The first thing I looked up is, man, he looks cute. Like, he looks so much younger with it. It's impressive. I'm
really disappointed because that should have been you first.
I know. He kind of beat me to the punch. I didn't realize dressing up on Tuesday for Thanksgiving was so in vogue right now. Chenang Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenang, Wim McKay, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And while we head there now, our ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Dan, I am curious. It is Thanksgiving week right now. You've got four lovely young kids. What's the arts and crafts situation like for Thanksgiving? Is that still a thing right now? Do you guys do hand turkeys and stuff?
Dude, it's nauseating how much colored paper I have in my house that is cut out with, I don't know, the markings of paper on it or markings of hand on it and fingers. And can we make this thing look like a turkey? And can we make that thing look like a turkey? Or, God, should I draw a pumpkin pie? Like, hey, bud, draw whatever you want. I don't really care right now, you know? So you do what you want to do with your drawing about pumpkin, you know, Thanksgiving Day food. I'm going to sit here and grind on this tape.
Oh, yeah. Dan's, Dan's doing football stuff out here. No time for cutout hands. And so that's what we love. That's what we love about you, Dan. We're not cutting paper on this show. We're getting into the film. And so let's stick with that. Because I am genuinely curious, though, Dan, because you're one of the best we have here at breaking down the tape and finding out what the issues are. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night did not look on the same page on offense for as far as we are into the season now. Some glaring errors there. And I'm curious, what is it about the Bucs offense and Tom Brady right now that just doesn't seem to be clicking when they get on the big stage against the best quality opponents?
Yeah, they're 100% dependent on a high level of execution. You know, like, there's nothing done scheme-wise or coaching-wise that kind of promotes success but minimizes the necessity for the execution of the play. There's nothing formation-wise. There's nothing scheme-wise. There's nothing motion-wise that says, okay, if I don't execute this play as well as it needs to be executed, it'll still be a successful play. And they're so dependent on those 70 snaps that they get, those guys better execute so well. And that's a lot to ask of their players. And so that's my biggest gripe. My second gripe is this. You as a coach, one of your jobs is to figure out what you guys do poorly, whether individually or as a group offensively. Like, what are we not good at? And let's minimize us doing that. The Bucs just don't throw the football downfield well, probably because they have a 43-year-old quarterback. Yes. Why do they do it so much? Like, that is the complete opposite of what you should do as a coach. Then you should look at the defense and go, okay, what is the defense really good at? Because then you don't want to attack the defense like that. If you look at the Rams, you go, they got a great secondary. Probably shouldn't throw the ball 40-plus times against them. But here the Bucs are. And then my biggest thing, is, or my other thing is this, Mike. The finger pointing that's going on from Bruce Arians, maybe once was okay after week one. Like, listen now, you're not proving to me how tough you are by calling out Tom Brady's inability, in your opinion, to see coverage change. You sound like a finger pointer. And, I'm so disappointed in what that offense looks like from a coaching aspect.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst here with us on Chenea Gold Jr., Chenea Gold McKay, and Michael Jr. here. Now, you took us in the locker room through the coach's perspective, but I want you to take us into the locker room from a player's perspective because we have a holiday coming up, and I know you're fed up with the construction paper, so I'll try to keep this simple and brief. You know, playing on Thanksgiving, what is it like to suit up for that experience in the NFL?
Oh, it's the best, Chenea. Like, first of all, I grew up in Shelton, Connecticut, and so Thanksgiving Day was a big deal. We used to play our crosstown rival, Derby, and so I grew up playing on Thanksgiving Day from an early age. It was awesome. Both whole towns were out. We used to absolutely drumstick them, so that was cool. But I grew up playing on Thanksgiving, then college 4 years on Thanksgiving, and then I went to the NFL. My first 4 years in the NFL were in Detroit. And no matter what our record was, because it stunk my first 4 years there, Thanksgiving Day was a big deal. I mean, the whole, you felt the vibe, the energy felt like a playoff game. We used to get Tim Allen, you know, Tim Allen, Home Improvement, and he would come down and be on the field and pregame and talking to everybody. And so the environment, the joy, the fun, the feel of everybody is watching this game was always like something to look forward to. Playing on Thanksgiving Day was like very much so part of my upbringing and one of the things that I loved about playing in the NFL.
Dan, you are so wonderfully wholesome to where the celebrity that most excited you coming down to the sideline was Tim Allen in Detroit.
Right.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, Home Improvement's a great show, you know, I loved Home Improvement as a kid, and his show that's on television now, I'm a huge fan of as well.
I love you so much. Dan Orlovsky with us, our ESPN NFL analyst. And it is weird. We're getting to the point now where I'm probably going to have to explain to some people in our audience what Home Improvement was as we age ourselves up
JTT,
here.
JTT, what a guy.
Well,
what
man, you talk about JTT. Now we're getting somewhere, Dan. We've got this one right here. And I would hate to kill the mood on this, but, Dan, I almost feel required by law. I feel like we should pay you more, Dan, as an NFL analyst, because we make you go back and watch the Eagles so dutifully at this point, despite what's gone on this season. So I know you went and did a dive into their game against the Browns here. Where are we at on the Carson Wentz Eagles scale of confidence at this point in the season?
Yeah, completely agree with the whole paying me more thing, by the way. But Listen, I don't need to go on television or on radio and tell people Carson Wentz isn't playing well. Like, we're aware of that. Duh, he's not playing good football. That being said, the issues with that football team are significantly bigger than just Carson Wentz. Their offensive line is not playing good. The scheme is not conducive to his skill set. Go watch the game. They couldn't separate against man coverage. Cleveland went complete lockdown. He threw the ball 35 times, Mike. 35 tonight, 35. Two bad plays. Two plays where I go, dude, you're not doing the right thing with the football. Your eyes aren't in the right place. You're late with all that. The pick six is 100% on the tight end wing. 100%. The safety, everyone keeps talking about the safety, right? He got hit within 2.6 seconds of the snap. That's ridiculously fast. So, like, hey, Carson, you should have gotten the ball out quicker. He's trying to convert 3rd and 8, guys. He's not just trying to catch and throw the ball. It's not 1st and 10. So, like, listen, I think this is what's needed in Philadelphia. Understanding the quarterback position right now, there's really two groups in the NFL. There's thinkers and there's reactors. The thinkers are Drew Brees, Tom Brady. They think their way through the football game, both pre and post snap. And then there's reactors. Josh Allen is a reactor. Patrick Mahomes is a reactor. I think Patrick Mahomes is both a thinker and a reactor. Carson Wentz has a little bit of both as well. He's a thinker before the snap. Once again, the right play. But after the snap, when he's in reactor mode, when their scheme is built to allow him to react, or he's in reactor mode, you got to let him react. You got to let him just play ball. But then in those moments where, okay, 3rd and 3, and we've got a very defined thought process, situational football, I need to sit down with Carson Wentz and figure out what his thought process is. I need to know what he's looking at versus the coverage and go from there. So I'm saying all that to say this. Carson Wentz is fixable. It's not a big problem. They need more direct coaching, more reception within that coaching, but you can't coach his talent. You just can't coach the talent.
Can't coach that talent, but we can pay Dan Orlovsky more money, and I think that's what we ultimately landed on in the course of this segment. Check him out on NFL Live every day here at ESPN. Dan, thanks for the time, buddy. Enjoy cutting out more paper turkeys.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Turkey sucks.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dan. All right, coming up next as we go off Dan Orlovsky's really, I think, accepted take at this point that turkey's an overrated Thanksgiving meat. We will
That's
tell you
wild.
Exactly who landed in the bottom five and why Sean Payton put him there personally. We will do that after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships, backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, that's tailored to your lifestyle. With options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard in the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now, with IRS Section 179, businesses can be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings is based on a 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim that full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Back after this, Chanae and Golic Jr.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Our thanks to a very crass ESPN NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky, who joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Just sticking the dismount on his way out of here. Turkey sucks on the way out. Peace, nerds.
Like, I didn't take that so seriously. I feel like he just meant that, like, paper turkey. It's not real turkey, right?
Well, I see. So, Chanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agwumike. Dan's got young kids. He's got four young kids. He's got triplet sons and a young daughter. And so we'd imagine he's made a lot of those, you know, what's that paper called? The thick paper that you use as a kid?
Construction paper. I just said it.
Construction paper. Ah, sorry. I don't know. It's weird the things that you forget when you're out of practice being a little kid.
You must have got a D in art class.
No, yeah, for sure.
No joke. One of my dad's like most scarring experiences as a kid was when his like elementary school teacher told him that like you make like tear art with construction paper, told mm-hmm. him that his art project was bad, like a little kid, and it scarred him for life. He talks about it still, and he's a 57-year-old man.
And that's one of those things where you're supposed to lie and say every little kid's art is great, it's cute, it's great. Like, whoa.
Exactly. You have no idea what young kid might go on. His dad could have been a famous artist. And instead,
we have a bigger controversy, though, and we will get to it later. The fact that both you probably and Dan like, you know, the white meat better, like the drier meat. Like, what?
First off, I thought you called Devin, the producer on our show, Dan, just an arbitrary white name for a second, and I was going to be very upset. But, yeah, no, listen, the white meat, dark meat thing is getting a little bit out of control here. It's a texture conversation. We will address in
not
a little
a
bit.
It's a seasoning one.
It's not a
seasoning. And a moisture one.
It's not a seasoning conversation. NFL top five, bottom five. We gave you the top five things from the NFL weekend. I'm going to do the bottom thing now.
Let's get to
which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted. He couldn't hang on.
This is the NFL top five, bottom five.
Top five, bottom five here in the NFL. Cliff, let's start him off. Let's start at the bottom at number five.
Number five.
I'm proud of these guys. They're climbing their way out of the gutter slowly but surely. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. They only lost 34-28 to the Los Angeles Chargers, a team who should be markedly better than their record at this point. They still have the number one pick locked down right now as they sit an over on the season. So all things considered, for the Jets lately, Chiney, you've maybe looked a little bit more respectable, but you still haven't won any games and jeopardized the Trevor Lawrence stuff.
And we're talking about the win coming from a team that's just learning how to win. Like, this is a get-right game. And they also made history by, you know, not, you know, they're being out, mathematically out of the playoffs. So,
it's a beautiful thing. Let's keep it going.
Number four.
I didn't even get to sing Sammy and the Jets. Continue.
We're going to have a chance every week. They're going to be
you're
in
right,
every week
right,
for the most
right,
part.
Right,
number four
right.
is Bucs play calling. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night lose on Monday Night Football, now fall to 1-3 in primetime games on the season. And, Chiney, we just talked to Dan Orlovsky about things other than cutout turkeys on this. I keep forgetting the name of construction paper because
paper.
I'm an idiot. But Dan Orlovsky also talking about the difficulties of their game plan, the things that they have not done on that offense and have still made it incredibly difficult. I'm going to rush to number three because I've gone very slow.
Number three.
Because I have to get to the internet full of people like myself, the Taysom Hill doubters, wondering why Drew Brees is being taken off the field so often for this guy who went out and helped guide the Saints to a 24-9 win this weekend. Chiney, I feel like even if it's just for a week, Sean Payton gets to sit a little more upright in his chair and feel good about getting over on the internet haters and nerds like me.
Yeah, and I'm a hater, and I'm staying a hater, because even if it's just a week that you can slot him at tight end, that's the one week I go up against you. Just, yeah.
These
fun.
Are facts.
Fantasy. That's great.
It is fun. Deeply, deeply personal. Number two.
Number two.
The Miami Dolphins quarterback switch situation here. Tua Tagovailoa benched late in this game, and if we're to believe Brian Flores, their head coach, it was strictly performance. It didn't have anything to do with injury, Tua being sacked six times in this game. It was strictly performance-based to go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had been your starter. And today, I said this Monday, and I'll say it again today, I don't understand the line of decision-making here if your goal was to start your future now in the way we thought it was with Tua.
Yeah, it was a little double-sided here, but also hearing the six sacks, the most, you know, in the NFL for him, and also most even during his time in Alabama. So I think there's some other things going on in the back, you know, in the backwoods, but right now we're all confusion.
A lot of confusion. As Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, said the other day, lie to me up there in front of the microphone sometimes,
time?
Brian Flores. That'd be Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst. And number one!
Number one.
This one actually is legitimately bad. Like, most of the top five ends up being jokes, but Joe Burrow being injured, tearing his ACL, MCL, and having other structural damage that could keep him out 9 to 12 months, Chiney, for someone who felt like our collective NFL son going into this season.
Yep.
So much of the nation had enjoyed watching what Joe Burrow and that LSU team did last year, what he had lifted the Cincinnati Bengals to this year, which is being relevant and actually fun to watch at times. It was really depressing, and we hope he gets well soon.
Absolutely, yeah. That was the hardest thing to watch, especially with him going down to injury. But at least he had enough runway in his first year that we saw a lot of promising potential.
Yeah, and I think that's just it, Chinee, because Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton accomplished a lot, but it never felt like the Bengals were actually efforting towards true winning and a true future, and it finally felt that way with Joe Burrow. So hopefully they can recapture that feeling. But coming up next, speaking of trying to recapture that feeling, why one NFL duo shows us and reminds us this week to not text our ex. That's next on ESPN Radio.